Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to all of our radio audience around the world. Again, this is the Worldwide Gospel Radio Broadcast Ministry of the Church of Christ of the United States of America. And as your host, I'm Brother Leroy Williams, who is one of the ministers of the Par Edition Church of Christ, which assembles and worships in Wharton, Texas, USA. We also want to let you know that we have Brother Brian Brown, faithful member of the West Ward Street Church of Christ, which worships in assembly in Texas City, Texas, USA. We have other ministers who in the past have been a part of being on this gospel broadcast and minister of panel, and we want to give honor to them as well because they have contributed to this program over the years. But we are especially glad, we're especially happy that our brethren of the Darien Loop Church of Christ, which worships in assembly in Houston, Texas, USA, those brethren have been faithful and consistent in paying for the cost of this radio broadcast each week for many years, at least 10 or more years. And so we just thank God that we have brethren who will not only preach the gospel, but we also have brethren who will support the gospel because it's very needed world today. We need to invest something in the gospel and the grace of God. In order to receive grace, we've got to invest ourselves. That is, we got to accept the terms of grace. And grace is unmerited favor. That means we can't earn this grace. It's not something that you receive as payment for something that you have done. No. Grace has already been provided by Jesus Christ, who is God, the living God, the Word, the Creator, the builder of the church, the head of the church, the husband of the church, the Savior of the church, the Almighty God. That's who Jesus is. He is not a man of flesh and blood that we might consider as a human brother. No. He is God, who is spirit and eternal life and eternal light. That's who Jesus is. He is the light of a city called heaven. He is the God of the kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And he is the head and husband and chief pastor of the church, which is called or named the Church of Christ, the church that he built, that he loved, and that he died for in order to purchase. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the church of God who purchased it with his own precious blood. The gospel of our salvation. And we want you to know that you must obey the gospel of salvation from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 21. When you read that, you see about the gospel of grace, the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross in his death in order for us to have the redemption from sin of our souls. Redemption, that is, we have been bought back. When man was born into the world, actually, when man was created by God, Jesus Christ was in the creation. Yes, he is the Word. And the Word was with God. And that's in John chapter 1, verse 1. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And God said, the word of God is the power of God and the very essence and being of God. That's who God is. He's everlasting word, that is spirit. He's eternal spirit. He is from everlasting to everlasting. All right? And so when we talk about creating the world, Jesus as creator, Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through 17 declares that he created all things, and by him all things exist. The creator, nothing that we speak of as creation would even exist, because we are existing in God. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and verse 28 through 30 says that God, it is in God that we live, that is, we exist, and we move, that is, we have ambulatory access, and God, that we live, we move, and have our very being. It is because of God that we exist. Without God, there is no life or eternal life existence. And sometimes people are being religious and practicing religious worship and so forth that is unacceptable to God, that is not from God, and that does not honor God, but rather blasphemes God and honors the purpose and deceitfulness of Satan. Why is that, Brother Leroy? Because they are deceived. Jesus says in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, that men would be worshiping him doctrines and the philosophy of men. That philosophy and doctrine of men means that it is a doctrine that is from the wisdom and the mind of men and not from the mind of God. See, the doctrine that is from the mind of God is the Holy Writ, the Bible, the book of instruction from the Lord, the revelation of God, the Holy Bible. Nearly everyone in the world has one. It's written in 1,500 different languages of the world, and that's about all the languages that are spoken today in the world. If there's more, Brother Williams don't know about it yet. There's the Latin language, which is an unspoken language in the world today. It's only spoken when the Pope of the Holy Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church, delivers a mass sermon from time to time, either on the so-called birthday of Jesus or on the Easter Sunday of Jesus, so-called, one of those special days when he does pulpit balcony in the St. Peter's Cathedral in the city and country autonomous city of the Vatican City, the Vatican country in the city of Rome. It's a very small country. The Pope is the president, the monarch, the dictator, whatever you want to call it. He's the head of that human state. He's the head of that government, all right? They have autonomy, just like the United States, or just like Italy, or just like France. They are an autonomous country, all right? Ruler is the Pope. And the Pope says he's a ruler over God's church, the Holy Roman or the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, he is the head of the Roman Catholic Church, but the Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of God. It's the Church of men, namely the Pope. And to be honest with you, it didn't get its significance until it was fully founded in 606 A.D., about 570 years after the apostles preached the first gospel sermon and the founding of the Church of Christ in the city of Jerusalem, which was around May 28, beginning at 9 a.m. that Sunday morning. That was the Easter Sunday celebration for the Jews. There's only the Jews celebrated Easter. Easter was not about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The Jews' celebration of Easter was about their salvation and their redemption as a physical nation under God from the bondage and slavery of Egypt. God told them. It was a day of atonement. God told them. Once a year, in a certain month of the year, and we find that to be the month of April, okay, they were to offer the atonement sacrifice for their sins. That didn't start with Moses. The offering of the blood of innocent animals of the first year, they had to be yearlings, they couldn't be old and wrinkled and dry. They were yearlings. They were perfect specimens of animals, sheep, bullock, goat, turtle doves, whatever they were offering had to be a perfect specimen of that animal breed, and it had to be a yearling or a very young animal, okay? So the beef would be veal, wouldn't be roast, or it wouldn't be, beef as such, beef steak. It would be veal steak because it was an animal of the first year, not more than 1 year old. That was God's requirement, beginning with Adam. And it lasted until Christ came and died on the cross and became the supreme and the only that man needed or could have in order to be redeemed from his sins. Our atonement is about the sacrifice and the death of Christ on the cross, who shed his blood in his death so that all who come and all who will obey him will receive the atonement, because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't remove man's sin, his spiritual sin. Okay? Animals don't sin, and they don't have a soul. Man sins. Man has a soul. He is created in the image of God. What is the image of God? John 4:23-24. God is spirit. They that worship him must also worship him in the spirit, according to his, God's, proof. That's the requirement. That's the necessity. But how can we worship God when we're living in sin? The life after Christ rose from the dead, the life of the servant of God must be a life that is lived in the spirit, not in sin, not in disobedience to God, but in faithful obedience to God, not in unbelief, but in true faith toward God. So that's why we preach the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to men all over the world, men in every language known to man. That's why we do it. because that's the requirement of God for his servants, for his ministering servants. God wants to get the word out. Why? Because every man has a soul, and God wants every soul to be saved. And that's why Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. We don't deserve anything. All we can do is receive what God has already provided. We can't earn salvation. We can't earn grace. We can't earn forgiveness. All we can do is accept or receive forgiveness from God. And how do we do that? We must obey the gospel first and foremost. What gospel? The gospel of Christ that produces Christians, that produces members of the church of Christ, that produces citizens of the spiritual kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, who produces members, household of God, the house of Christ, the house over which he is the head, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 6, the body over which he is the head, Ephesians chapter 4, or chapter 1, rather, and verse number 22 and 23, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and verse 24. So we're talking about that church, talking about that Savior, we're talking about that God, we're talking about that spiritual husband and our spiritual father who begat us. Somebody say, what? Jesus Christ is the spiritual father who begat us. James chapter 1, verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Jesus is the producer of the new creation. He's the father of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All old things have passed away. Now, everything is become new. Our life is a new life in Christ. It's a life that we did not have before we met Christ. We were living in sinful death till Jesus came and provided eternal life for all who would obey him. And now, as obedient servants of Christ, we are living in eternal life with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, around verse number 11 through verse number 18, we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly place, where the spiritual church exists. It's a spiritual realm. We have access to that spiritual realm because we are right there with our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our God, Jesus Christ. Read your Bibles. Take notes now. Tonight is a special event. I want you to know that. And it is designed to do directly answer any questions that any of you as our gospel broadcast radio listeners have about the gospel of Christ or the doctrine of Christ or any preaching and testimony that we have been teaching from the Bible. Because we know that there are some confusion and questions generated when the truth is presented, because so many false doctrines are in the world today. There are so many false ministers of Satan in the world. Yes, sir. Ministers of Satan. The Bible speaks to that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe, beginning at verse 11 through 13, it says, Satan has ministers. And it says, Satan, that deceiver, that great deceiver, has transformed himself to appear as an angel of light. He, Satan, is disguised himself to be one of God's angels, one of his archangels. Because remember, Lucifer was for the fall. But Lucifer became high-minded, became boasting, and tried to take over God's creation. Yeah, he wanted to get into the creation process with God as an equal. God destroyed that notion. There is no God beside the living God. There is no equal. He alone is God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, again around verse 10 and following. He is the only potentate, that is the all-powerful God. There is no equal to him. Only thing that equals God is God. That's right. The only thing that equals God is God. So when Philippians talks about thought it not robbery, being equal with God, and assumed no special reputation, came into the world, lived a humble and faithful life as a man, died as a man, and in the spirit became the supreme sacrifice, blood sacrifice for every man's sin. Every man can have salvation and forgiveness of sin because Jesus died. Every man can have eternal life, salvation, because he lives. He lives forever. He once was, he was dead, he is risen, and he is alive forevermore. Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. He is the God of our salvation. So tonight, encouraging, we're inviting, we are insisting that if you're on this radio broadcast call tonight, that you will ask your questions. We promise you only this, that if your Bible question is asked, we will give you the Bible's answer. We're going to give it to you, and we're not just going to tell you what it is. We're going to give you the reference, the book, chapter, and verse, where you can go, read, and study, and understand God's answer for yourself. See, if we tell you what it is, you know what it is. But if you go and study what God has said, then you become confident because you know what you know. You know that you know it. That's the objective of studying the Word of God, so that we have the confidence to know that we know what God has said. A lot of people say, well, God this, and I believe God's going to do that, and I read my Bible every day, and I think God is this, and God is too good, and people are hell, and God knows our problems, and God understands all of our failings and all kind of stuff. But you can't even find that conversation written in God's letter, his revelation, that he wrote using men. Somebody said, well, no, men wrote the Bible. No, God wrote the Bible. He used men as his pen and paper. And he uses men today in his spiritual kingdom. He uses men today because God says, I'm going to write my law, my word, on the fleshly tables of man's heart. He prophesied that in the Psalms and the prophets, and he referenced it when he wrote the letter to us in Hebrews chapter 8. the entire chapter, the whole thing. It talks about the revelation and the new covenant will of God under Christ. Mm-hmm. The new covenant will of God would not be a letter written in stone, but rather it would be a letter written upon the intellect, the mind, the heart, the heart of thinking, man's heart. See, and when God's letter is received in our heart, God writing to us. And when God does that, we have but one response, that is to receive it and obey it, to accept it, to believe it, and to do what it instructs us to do. If we refuse it at any time, then we cast off the grace, salvation, and blessings of God's word. We find ourselves spiritually naked. And instead of being Christians, that is, saved and in fellowship with Christ, we become nothing. See, the word Christian is an allegory that we can describe like this. With Christ, I have all salvation. Without Christ, I am nothing. See, Christ is God. He alone is God. We're not Christ. We are Christians. I-A-N. You put the I-A-N on there, and that identifies us or you as having been joined to Christ. See, we don't join no church. We are joined to Christ by spiritual and obedience to the gospel. What do you mean, obedience to the gospel? The command of the gospel is to be obeyed in order for man to receive God's salvation. The commandment is this: whosoever believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Huh? The commandment is this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of God, the Holy Ghost. See, God said, I'm going to come into your life, and as the Holy Ghost, I'm going to abide with your soul. I'm going to save you by my Holy Spirit and keep you, and it's a way of identifying you, because you're going to look like God when you are walking in spiritual faith and obedience to God. You're going to look like God. See, you don't look like a Christian. You're going to act like a Christian. You're going to talk like a Christian. You're going to have relations with others in life from the characteristic of already being a Christian. You're not going to be friends with the world and the worldliness. You're only going to be friends with those things that are moral and righteous according to the written word of God. See, Christians don't get married and honor common law marriage invented by man. Christians don't do that. There are no common law marriages in Christ. There are no same-sex marriages in Christ, because Christ does not approve. He calls that abomination. He calls it confusion. He calls it a heretic, a blasphemy. As, you know, you're just cursing God. You're so ungodly, yet claim to be godly, that you're literally cursing God to his face. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to pay for that. That's what you're doing. Stop it. Repent. Repent means to stop doing what I know is wrong. and start doing what I know is right. Marriage under God is to be entered in with gravity, with sincerity, and truth. Not with false bravado, not with human will and human might or human mind, but with the mind of serving God through that marriage. See, a marriage that is not ordained of God cannot serve God's purpose in life. It cannot, because it's not approved of God. So there are no same-sex marriages. There are no common law marriages in Christ. There is no shacking up in Christ. We know what shacking up is. That's living in fornication. Two unmarried people just decide to go live together, have sex, bear children, and walk around and say, we are married. There is no evidence, there is no vows or approval of God in such carrying on in such relationships. That's what we do with animals. We put the male and the female together and breed them to produce offspring. That's not God's will. God married Adam and Eve. God said, I want you to produce, or to reproduce rather, multiply and replenish the earth. There's multiply and let the whole world be filled with my mankind. That's what God's will is. But he wants it done his way. See, we got to do God's will. We can't just start getting together and having sex and producing babies and just on and on and on without proper authority from God. Fornication is not proper authority from God. It is sin. It's blasphemous. It is against God. It is a ignorance or an ignoring of God's will. So you don't want to do that. Therefore, we teach what God's will is, that we marry under God in the spiritual presence of God through vows, ceremonial vows, and with witness. God requires that everything we do righteously according to his will, be established by witness. Yeah, you're not the only one that's serving God in the world. There are Christians all over the world. They're serving God every day in their lives. Oh, God wants us to be recognized as a family. He created us a spiritual family. He didn't just create some people. He didn't just create some folks. He created us a spiritual family. That spiritual family is to be united in faith and in spiritual living. We recognize each other by the evidence of our spiritual faith, which we practice daily in Christ. If you're not doing that, then you can't get the salvation or the grace of God. Now, let me just say this too. I omitted this a while ago, and I apologize. If you intend or would like to ask any question on this program tonight, we want you to be, first of all, on the telephone call. You can't do it over the internet access. There's an internet website that some around the world are using to hear this broadcast so they hear it in their own language. But for those who can understand the English language and who are called in, dialed into the radio station telephone number, which is area code 347, phone number 850-8256. And that you preface that with your country dialing code if you are international. Okay? That country dialing code must be dialed first. Then you dial 347-850-8256. 8256. If you're on the phone call tonight and you want to ask a question, you need to push number one on your telephone keypad. Push number one on your telephone keypad. And doing that will alert our program moderator, Brother Brian Brown, who will then alert and arrest me from talking so that we can listen to your question and we can give you the Bible's answer, the Bible's approval of what God wants you and I to do. Is that all right? So if you got a question tonight, please, right now, just push number one. You don't have to listen to me. I don't have to stop talking. Just push number one, then I'll stop because I know you got a question. God bless you. That's the essence of our program tonight. Now, we've got about 30 minutes of broadcast time for this program, and I would like to use 29 and a half of those 30 minutes to converse with those who have questions or comments regarding the will of God, faith in God, obedience, church, membership, whatever. We want to answer, and we want to give you God's answer to your questions. So if anybody has a question tonight, please ask your question. Push number one on your telephone keypad and let us speak to you from the revelation, the word of God. All right. Now, what we'll do while we're waiting for your response, I want to ask you to just take a moment. Let's bow our heads in humility in prayer to God. Righteous God, to Jesus Christ, the only true God, the perfect Savior, the head of the spiritual body of faith in Christ, the King of the spiritual kingdom of God, which is from everlasting to everlasting, of the souls of men who obey. To you, O God, our Creator, our God, our ruler, our Lord and Master, we bow in humility and we say thank you. We say thank you, God, because God's servant is not a slave, but a free man, has the autonomous right to choose. God's servant serves God willingly, not by constraint, not by violence, not by abuse, but by love, because God loves us and has loved us unto salvation. And we have to love him back. Thank you, God. Thank you for a moment in time in our life as now. Now is the time to embrace your perfect salvation. And we are praying to God through this ministry each night, each day, each time, and the revelation of your truths to men, that there will be many who will receive the truth and obey the gospel and be saved before the everlasting and eternally too late. Thank you for the word of salvation that you have given to men. Thank you, dear God, for the responsibility that you have required of me by my asking to preach the truth. We know that your word has power to accomplish your will, and indeed will accomplish your will, and will not return unto you with failure. Will not return. And for that reason, dear God, we have committed our eternal life, our salvation in you. We have believed in you, dear Jesus, because we know by faith that you are the power that will save us from all eternal death, from all spiritual destruction. Thank you, dear God. Bless this ministry, this broadcast tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to stay prayed up. We got to praise God, not by shouting and screaming and clapping our hands and beating on the drum, but praise God by living as a Christian ought. Huh? Walking, Romans chapter 8, in the Spirit and not according to the desires and the whims of our fleshly appetite, our fleshly and vile desires. The evil desires that come about in our flesh. See, we didn't know cursing and anger and hating and fighting and backbiting and lying and fornicating and bearing false witness. We didn't know all that until we grew up in the flesh. We were born innocent and pure as infants into this world. But this world is an environment that produces and that encourages sinful living. And because of that, we all need Jesus Christ in our life. There's never a time or there's never a reason for us to neglect and to forsake our opportunity for salvation in Christ Jesus. Just wanted you to know that Brother Williams is concerned about not only his soul, but your soul as well. I am concerned because I love you like God loves. I don't know you personally, but I know that you are a soul. You are a being that is created in God's image. And I, too, am such a creature. I was created in the image of God, just like you. So in that sense, we are related. Spiritually, we are related in that condition. However, we are not all children of God because we have not all obeyed the commandment and the gospel of God. That's why I have received and accepted the unction, the compelling necessity on my part to preach the word of God. So God bless you. If you got questions, we again say, ask your question. Push the button. Have me. Okay? Require me to prove all the things that I am teaching from the revelation of God. I'm not going to prove my word. I'm only going to prove God's word. I'm not going to use my thought and my wisdom to prove it. I'm going to let the Bible tell you. Let the Bible prove it. Because the Bible is the word of God, in fact. And the word of God is eternal life. It is not dead letter on a page. It is spirit, and it has ability to move about. It has mobility. It has ability. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick, is alive, and powerful. It is able to discern the very thought and intent of a man's mind. God can see and God knows what I'm thinking. He knows exactly what I'm thinking at all times, as he also knows what each and every person is thinking at all times. He can read your mind. His word is able to known barrier. even to the cutting apart of bone and marrow from bone and marrow. He cut clean through. It is the sharpest. If you want to think about how a sword in the ancient times was crafted, it had two very razor sharp edges. You could swing that sword back and forth, up and down. And whatever way you go, you're going to cut with it. If you miss what you're doing, you're going to cut the air. If you contact what you're doing, you're going to cut that wood, person, armor, whatever you're doing, whatever you're striking at, it's going to cut into that. God's word is sharper. It's sharper. It can cut through any barrier. And the biggest barrier that God's word has to cut through is the stubborn, hard-headed, disobedient, unconscionable mind of man. That is the hardest thing that the word of God has to be able to penetrate. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it can and it does. So God knows. God knows the end in the beginning. Because God doesn't exist in time. Time exists in God. God is time. He is the everlasting. That's how great and powerful that God is. So you can't get around. You can't miss what God intends and what God is going to do. You can disobey, you can refuse, you can reject, but you cannot avoid the consequences of your autonomous decision with regard to whether or not to obey God. There's a consequence. If you obey him, there's a consequence. If you don't obey him, there's a consequence. And the whole world knows from the preaching of the word of the true God that there is heaven and hell. There's reward and punishment. And you're going to get one or the other depending on whether you live faithfully in righteousness toward God or not. And the only way you can live faithful in righteousness toward God is to obey his every command. God commands you first and foremost to be baptized in water baptism for the removal of your past sins. Every obedient soul that we can read about in any instance in the Bible, from Matthew to Revelation, spiritual relationship with God. Without it, you don't exist spiritually in the relationship with God, because you have to be born into God's family. You can't join the church of your choice in Christ. There's no such thing as joining the church of your choice in Christ. That's not a Bible principle. That's not even supported or proven by the Bible doctrine. It doesn't prove that. That's a doctrine of men, and billions of men are following it today. What a sham. What a shame. What a disgrace. What a tragic situation. Christ died for us to have a good and righteous life now and eternal life with him for the remainder. And what are men doing? They're being deceived and tricked and bamboozled, and just totally lied to and deceived by the preaching of lies and influence of Satan in the world. Satan hates truth. Satan does no good thing. That is, no God-approved thing. Satan doesn't do that. If Satan pretends to do something right, it's a pretense. It's a condition to trick you into believing that he intends and is doing righteous while he is purposely luring you into a trap where he can kill you mind, body, and spirit. But God, who is not trying to trick you, not calling you from a dark, shady position, but in true light and spirit, God wants to save you mind, body, and spirit. God doesn't want 10% of you. God wants all of you, because your soul is the only thing that you have of any eternal value to you or to God. And God is eternal. God wants what belongs to him. Every soul belongs to God. God gave us the autonomous right to save our soul. All we have to do is follow his commandments, his will, obey his gospel, and do what he says. God wants you back. That's why he provided redemption. That's why he provided a way to buy you back out of sin. Because sin is the reward and the consequence of falling to the deceptive allurements. Satan got a whole lot of tricks. But in Christ, we understand that we can know the tricks of Satan. How can you know them? Well, they don't go along with the wisdom of God. That's a sign. See, certain times, you have to know all the ins and outs. You have to know what the trick is. You don't need to know the name of it. All you got to know is what you're hearing and what is being suggested does not obey or agree with the word and the will of God. You can't know that unless you become a serious student of God's word. Study your Bible. Read the word of God daily. Let God's word permeate your mind, your thoughts, your brain, and let it produce righteous fruit of obedience to God. That's what you have to do. If you don't do that, you cannot be saved. You cannot die in true faith without sin in Christ. You can't die in Christ with sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 5. There is no sin in him. Who is him? There's no sin in him. So if you got sin in you, you're not in Christ. If you die with sin, you died outside of Christ. If you die outside of Christ, you have a punishment of eternal death. The sentence of death, eternal death, is yours forever. Don't die disobedient to God. Don't die outside of Christ. Die in Christ. Yea, the Spirit says, right. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From now on, from henceforth, they shall rest from their spiritual work, their spiritual labor of love, and the legacy future generations, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, countrymen, patriots. Whatever our relationship is, God wants us to leave a living legacy of truth and faith and obedience to him for our generations that follow, our children, our children's children, children's children's children, to every generation. That's God's will. So you, whatever you do, however you live in life, however you die out of this life, There's a legacy that you have left that will eventually be an example or being followed as an example by someone, some persons in your future generations on the earth. You need to be careful. Beware and be warned, ladies and gentlemen. Let us live the kind of life that God calls us to live so that we can secure a right lesson, a right example, a right commandment, a right character for the generations of souls that are born into the world in the days after our human demise. Because as long as God let the world stands, babies are going to be born into this world. But what will they see? What will happen to them? What will it be for them when they're born? That all depends on what we who have lived for years before have done and provided in the human experience, in the spiritual obedience to God, pattern, example for them. Let's follow God's pattern. Let's make it right. Let's do it God's way so that it will help the generations that follow our example. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. We're thankful for all of you come on this call tonight to be a part and to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its simplicity, in all of its power and importance. Thank you, and we pray that you'll continue with us and that you will not only hear the truth, but that you will share it with your neighbors, friends, loved ones, relatives, folks on your job, folks in your community, Little League program, folks on the community association, yeah, the homeowners association, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, tell somebody that God has loved our souls so much that he wants all of us to be saved. God bless you. Again, we encourage you, be with us on Tuesday, the Lord willing, and we all here, the earth is still standing, and we're all here. Let's meet again on this radio broadcast call, and let's study and receive and obey the word of God together, that all of us might be saved by the truth. I leave that with you, and I recommend to you God's word. Study it, read it, and if you have questions, always feel free to ask your questions on this radio broadcast ministry. We love to entertain and to answer questions, godly questions, by God's word. To each one and all, have a good day, a good evening, good night. By the grace of God, be safe. Goodbye.